The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
She says, I thought you had been hit by a car.
Wow.
She said, your legs had no structure. You were running on it looked like sticks or stilts because there was no form in your legs. There was no muscle in your leg. And so as soon as I crossed that finish line, I wheeled myself over, I fell to the ground, and I was foaming at the mouth.
Coming up on Life Today, Dr. Don Colbert shares his personal health crisis and shows you how to reverse many diseases by letting food be your medicine.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Sheila Walsh is with me, and we've got a great guest for you, especially if you deal with any kind of health issue, because there's a lot of people out there that deal with a lot of stuff.
I know, and this is a fantastic book. I've just had a chance to flip through it, but it made me so hungry to ask the author questions, because he's one of the best out there.
Yes. Would you please welcome the medical director of the Divine Health Wellness Center, Dr. Don Colbert.
Hey,
good to have you, man. Good to see you again.
Yes,
always good. We always get great feedback when you're on the program because you hit people right where they live. And your new book called Let Food Be Your Medicine sounds great to me because I like food. I don't really like medicine, but I like food. Let's get into this because, man, there's a lot of stuff we can fix if we will just adjust the things we're eating.
Exactly. And again, in medical school and in residency, I was taught with every disease that all they need typically is a prescription for high blood pressure. You know, give them a high blood pressure medication for high cholesterol medication, diabetes, type 2 diabetes, give them a sugar medication, depression, an antidepressant, anxiety, anti-anxiety. And again, it gets to the point where I said, wait, I had to go through some health challenges in order to change my thinking, because what I found is the best thing for God's best is let your food be your medicine. And what I've learned and what I ask on my physical exam questionnaire for everyone, when they come in, I have a comprehensive medical history I have them fill out. One of the key questions I look at, I do a dietary analysis. I want to know consistently what they eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snacking. And I want to know what food they crave. Because invariably, the very foods they typically crave are the very foods that are inviting the disease and diseases into their bodies.
Wow. One of the things that was interesting, though, about this book, because I have lots of your books at home and I found them so helpful. I did not know your own backstory of how this came to be your passion. Would you tell our viewers a little bit about your own absolute crisis of health?
Oh, sure. When I was in my third year of medical school, it was in August, we are required to run a 3-mile run. Now, that's no problem. I was in real good condition. But this day we had to run, it was in the high 90s with high 90 humidity. And it was in the middle of the day, around noon. And so here I'm running around the track. But then in the last 100 yards or so of the race, I was doing good. Because if you score a real good time, you only have to run it once a year, which is great. I needed to go ahead and run a fast time, so I checked it off my list.
Was this at ORU?
This is at ORU, correct.
You only had to do it once a year. Nobody told me that. I must not have ever been close.
So you're one of those guys.
You're out there. Okay.
So I was going.
Okay.
So I simply followed one of my med school partners who also ran really good, so I stayed right behind him. I knew that he had run it in, you know, real fast time, and if I could do that, I'd only have to run it once. Well, it just so happened about 100 yards from the finish line, all of a sudden, my legs, I felt my legs literally, it's like someone punctured a balloon. It felt like someone ruptured a balloon in my legs, and my legs, I had no control over them. And literally for about 100 yards, I forced myself over that finish line. As soon as I crossed that finish line, I had that finish line, but Mary was under a tree reading the Bible, my wife, Mary, and she said, she looked up at me and she says, I thought you had been hit by a car.
Wow.
She said, your legs had no structure. You were running on it looked like sticks or stilts because there was no form in your legs. There was no muscle in your leg. And so as soon as I crossed that finish line, I wheeled myself over, I fell to the ground and I was foaming at the mouth. Well, the coach recognized that something major had happened. They thought I had heat exhaustion, so they pulled me over to where the sprinklers were, and they sprinkled me off. Well, then I got worse. My heart was beating so fast. My mouth was so dry. And they said, we got to take him to the emergency room, which was across the street. So they put me in the back of a station wagon, and they took me to the City of Faith across the street. Mm-hmm. And at this time, that high humidity and high temperature had caused a huge storm cell. And tornado sirens were going off.
Oh, wow.
And so the ER doc and all the nurses are standing outside the ER looking up at the sky when I come rolling in. Yeah. They see me drenched. They say, this guy just had heat exhaustion. He's no problem. But then the nurse screams after she took my vitals and says, temperature is 108 degrees.
Wow.
Bad sign.
Wow.
Bad sign.
Bad sign.
Because at that temperature, you start to cook your brain. And so what happened then is I said, put an IV in now. So they put an IV in, and the ER doctor agreed. And I said, put one in the other arm. They did, which he agreed to, too. Now, what the strangest thing happened, as soon as they put those IVs in, my body was so hot. When the IVs went through my circulation, literally the perspiration shot up about an inch. It looked like a fountain all over my body. And my wife was intrigued. She says it looked like something out of an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
I'm just thinking that. It's like a sci-fi thriller.
She said, yeah. She said, out of every pore in your body, because they had my shirt off, she said, literally, the perspiration was shooting up about an inch all over my body. She said, I remember her saying, that is the strangest thing she was looking at me I've ever seen in my life. But then what happened is my urine turned to the color of coffee. I started, literally, the muscles in my thighs had ruptured, and I started excreting the myoglobin muscle pigment through my urine, which caused acute kidney failure.
Goodness.
Which then caused my muscles to literally shrivel up. And over the next couple of weeks, I was in the hospital on high-dose IVs round the clock to save my kidneys from the poison, which is the myoglobin, the muscle being that was literally, that ruptured, the pigment was spilling out and poisoning my kidneys.
How did you not die?
I almost did. But what was so strange was the severe pain I had in my legs. The pain was excruciating. And I literally watched as my legs shrunk to where my arms were bigger than my legs. And then it confused and confounded the doctors. They said, we've never seen this. I had a neurologist, I had a kidney specialist, I had an internal medicine specialist. And so they said, we need to biopsy his muscles. We can't understand what's going on. We've never seen this. So they said they wanted to biopsy each leg, each thigh, and each shoulder. I said, no. My wife said, no, we're not doing that. We're only going to do one area. We agreed. I told my wife, I'm not going to let them. So I just did my thigh. They biopsied the thigh, the whole muscle, all the way from the top to the bone. I'll never forget when those doctors came in that my wife had told them, tell me first, do not say anything in front of my husband. Mm-hmm. Well, they came in, the surgeon came in, and he gave the pathology report, and he said, I got bad news. He said, you will never walk again. He says, your muscles are dead from the surface of the muscle all the way to the bone. They're necrosed. They are dead, and you'll never walk again.
You can't grow that kind
you
of thing
can't
back,
grow it back,
at least naturally.
They said
so what happened?
So my wife, she said, I told you not to tell him that. You're all fired. Now get out of here. She fired my doctors. So I was all upset. Said, wait a sec. Not only am I not going to walk again, but now you fired my doctor. Now I won't finish medical school. I was in my hardest rotation in medical school. And now I said, I probably won't finish because how am I going to finish now? The hardest rotation when I've been out already for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And so my wife and I had a major argument. She stormed out of the room crying and went down the elevator. And as she went down the elevator, she heard that voice on the inside. And that voice says, he shall run and not be weary.
Amen.
He shall walk and not faint.
Amen.
And then she immediately pushed that elevator going up. And she came back to my room and she said, she shook her finger at me. And she says, God has spoken. I mean, man has spoken this to you, but God says, you shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint.
Wow. That's awesome. And, you know what I think is fascinating, Randy? Obviously, the enemy knew that God had his hand on you because you have literally impacted the health of hundreds of thousands of believers.
Yeah.
And to me, that's clearly a demonic attack on your life to try and take you out before you could bring such health and healing to the body of Christ.
Because I firmly believe if I had been in that wheelchair, who would have listened to a doctor in a wheelchair writing books?
Yeah.
But what happened a few weeks later, I was in my room and I wasn't back in med school yet, but literally I used to listen to R.W. Shambach. He says, you don't need to worry. All you need is faith in God. And so he would come on every morning around 8 o'clock there in Tulsa, and I'd listen to him, and wow, he inspired that faith and that belief and that expectancy. And literally I felt the power of God, and I got up. I started walking. It hurt like crazy. I had hardly any strength, but I started walking. I started pushing myself. And then eventually, within a couple of weeks, I was able to walk into the City of Faith. And when I walked in, they couldn't believe it.
The nurses came
out. The doctors came out and says, this is absolutely amazing. This is a miracle. Because we had the path report. Those muscles are dead. And they were all shriveled up before, but literally I started getting the muscle back in my legs. The muscle is coming back. And now, I mean, I do squats and everything. I've been doing squats for years, so which I was never supposed to do.
No medical explanation, just God.
No medical explanation,
just God.
Do you
know what I love about that, though? It's the combination of the Word of God and your determination.
Mm. Yes.
You know, sometimes we just want God to heal us.
Right.
But the fact that you worked with the Lord.
You
got to
do something. You got to do something.
You did what you could. Yeah.
Even though I was weak, I had to act. Yeah. And I had to expect.
Now, that wasn't the first health challenge, although that's enough for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Later, you developed a condition that was a bit of a challenge as well.
Exactly. Now, back about, I went through residency, did great, and then I went and opened my own solo practice. Mm-hmm. And I was in solo practice for a few years, and then all of a sudden I awakened one morning with a rash over most of my body that itched like crazy.
Yikes.
And so finally I thought it was something like scabies, because I'd treated a patient the week before and I put this medicine on from my chin all the way down. It was worse the next day. Finally, I went to see my dermatologist buddy, who's one of the top dermatologists in Central Florida, and I'll never forget the way he looked at me. He had these glasses down on his nose. He peered over his glasses, and he shook his head, and he says, Don, I'm sorry to inform you that you have the heartbreak, and he emphasized the heartbreak, of psoriasis. And I said, what? Psoriasis? That's impossible. First of all, my heart hasn't been broken. Second of all, it doesn't run in my family. It can't be. He says, I don't care. You have it. So he whipped his script pad out, and he wrote out a prescription, coal tar with Aquaphor Aqua, which is an orange ointment that smelled like the asphalt that they would repave roads with.
And you're supposed to cover your whole body
cover
with
my body with asphalt smelling ointment.
That's so, not much of a future right there, no.
For those of us who don't know, what exactly is psoriasis and how do you get
it? Okay, psoriasis is an autoimmune disease.
Okay.
And that means the body is attacking itself. But psoriasis generally affects the scalp and the elbows and the knees. But in my case, it was all over my hands, my arms, my elbows, my knees, my legs, all over. It was like I was on fire.
What caused it?
And it's an autoimmune disease. My body was attacking itself, and I didn't know what caused it at that time.
Okay.
But I had to figure it out.
Yeah.
And so what happened, I put the ointment on, didn't help at all. And I stunk and I stained everything orange. Everything I touched stained orange.
What a life, wow.
So I did this for a few months, and finally I had a that's it moment.
Oh.
And the that's it moment says, I literally said to myself, that's it. God healed me of a massive heat stroke, of rhabdomyolysis, where my legs were literally dead, necrosed. And then I realized that there was a major thing that I had to understand and had to find. And it says, seek and you shall find, ask and it'll be given unto you, and knock and keep on knocking. But it says, keep on seeking, seek on asking, keep on knocking. I then received an insatiable desire to learn the truth. And I learned that there was, the epiphany I'm going to tell you, the aha moment, but the key is this. I had an incredible appetite to learn what the answer was. I knew it was nutritionally speaking and dietarily. And finally, I got to the point where when I ate certain foods, literally within an hour or so, my hands were on fire. I'd show my wife. I'd say, look at my hands. They were blistering up. I said, it feels like someone is burning my fingers with cigarettes. And so from doing this, I was able to identify the foods that inflame my body and the foods that quench the inflammation. Mm. And eventually I got to the point where I was able to identify the two key foods that certain foods inflame everyone, but then two foods that are healthy for the majority were very inflammatory to my body. And the epiphany is this: generally speaking, what you can do, God will not do. Let me repeat that because it's so powerful. It transformed my life. Generally speaking, what you can do, God will not do. I was unknowingly craving and eating the very foods every single day that were mainly inflaming my body. Now, certain foods inflame everybody, like deep fried foods, French fries, onion rings, they inflame everybody. Sugar inflames everybody. Hydrogenated fats inflame everybody. But the two foods that were inflaming me are healthy for the majority of people.
What were they?
Number one was gluten, which is the protein in wheat.
Right.
And number two was peppers.
Peppers?
And yes, peppers.
You'd think those were healthy because they're a vegetable.
And I craved them every day. Wow. Jalapeno, cayenne peppers, bell peppers, banana peppers, any kind of pepper. I loved it and
me too.
Ate it.
Wow, all on my list.
And literally, it set my body on fire. Now, what happened? God had to show me this, and literally I removed all the key inflammatory foods that inflame everyone. Then I removed the foods that inflame just me. And just so happens, the very food that you usually crave is usually the food that invites the disease into your body. When I got rid of those two foods, and I said, I'm not going to eat them for 6 months, when I did that, within a few months, the psoriasis was gone.
Wow. And that shouldn't have been really, should it? I mean,
Once you have it, that's it.
Yeah.
Now, what happened after 6 months, I was able to eat peppers. But I learned the keys, and this is what I want to share with people. I had to rotate them every 3 to 4 days in moderation, no problem, no psoriasis at all. Wheat and gluten, not so good for my body. When I eat that, if I continue to eat it, literally, I'm going to flare up even to this day.
Mm. Wow.
So I had to remove all gluten, all wheat, and I've done that now for almost 20 years and no psoriasis.
So that's back to what you said about what you can do,
right.
Yeah. God will not do.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because you did your part.
Right. Now, I've been practicing medicine now since I became a doctor in 1984, solo practice since 1987. So I said, this was so miraculous for me. I said, could it be that this program, if we modify it for each major inflammatory disease, which most diseases, at the very root of the disease is inflammation, could it be this could help with most diseases? And absolutely true. It works with most every disease, but with a few little tweaks or modifications. And so that's what I've done. I've put together a program for most diseases, from weight loss and obesity, obesity, to depression, to high blood pressure, high cholesterol, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, dementia, cancer, autoimmune disease, arthritis, you name it, we can treat it. And certain diseases are just real easy. Like, for example, when people have sinus problems and allergies, it's almost always dairy. Dairy. And so people, you know what I do? I ask them what food they crave, and invariably, cheese, ice cream, yogurt. And they say, wait, yogurt's good for me, isn't it? I said, it's good for most people, but in your case, it's inviting the disease into your body.
So we've got about 30 seconds left with you. What would be the bottom line thing you would want to tell people in our audience when it comes to what they put in their bodies and how it affects their health?
Well, again, the Word of God is clear. It says, God is not mocked. He says, whatsoever seed you sow, that will you also reap. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, which is disease. But he who sows to the Spirit shall reap life and everlasting life. And so again, it's important to realize that and I'm not saying we can never eat sugar, we can never eat wheat, we can never eat ice cream or whatever, but what we want to do is we want to start eating anti-inflammatory foods that invite health into our bodies instead of eating the wrong food that is inviting disease into the body.
I suspect if you're like me, you're wondering, okay, what do I do next? What can I eat? How do I find out what I can eat? I mean, there's a lot of questions. I want to show you how you can get Dr. Colbert's book, Let Food Be Your Medicine. But I'm going to do that by asking you to help us with something. Dr. Colbert says what you can do, God generally won't do for you. I think that's because he's waiting on us to act. And Sheila, you recently went on a trip where you saw a situation where we can do something.
Yeah. And it's not a responsibility, it is a joy and a privilege. Watch this. So here we are in a barrio in Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic. We're in the home of, this is Ingrid, and this is her son, Nelsario. I remember when my son was born, the first thing I did was count every finger, every toe, just, you know, like any mom, you just want to make sure he's perfect. And for Ingrid, when she looked down at Nelsario's feet, she could tell that something was seriously wrong. The doctors tried to explain to her that he had club foot. And what she said to me earlier was just the shock of thinking, what am I going to do? You know, what is my boy's future going to look like? You know, is he going to end up in a wheelchair? How can I afford a wheelchair? I just think it's every mother's nightmare. You just want your kids to be okay. You want your kids to be like every other kid. And this darling 4-year-old boy needs help. He needs help so that he can live the kind of life that my boy got to live, where he can go out and kick a football and run with the other boys. He just needs our help. I didn't know this. Do you know that 1 out of every 750 live births, the children have club feet? But the amazing thing is, fixing it is really simple. You know, our darling Nasari will have to wear a plaster cast for a time. Then he'll have to wear braces for a time. But all of those simple things are non-invasive will mean that this boy, this beautiful boy, and this mom might get to see her son grow up to have a normal life.
Hard to watch.
You know, I asked Nasario through an interpreter, I said, what's your biggest dream? What would you love to do? And his eyes got really big and he said, I'd love to play baseball. Oh. That's all he wanted. And it's just, and it's not just Nasario. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these children around the world mm-hmm. that are waiting. There's hundreds of mothers on their knees right now. Mm-hmm. And what they want is not the latest iPhone for their child. They're not looking for something like that. All they want is for their child to be able to walk, to run. I asked Nasario, have you ever played in a baseball team? And he said, I showed up once for practice and they wouldn't let me join because they saw my feet. And I just, as a mom, that would have killed me for my son. And the great news is we can do something and it doesn't cost that much. $17 provides what Randy's holding right here. These braces, $17. $34 for 2 pairs of braces and $68 yes. for 4. We can do this, people. We can do this. Whatever you can do, you might be able to do a surgery, which is $400, which is still not much. Or even if maybe you're a kid watching, you've probably got $17 tucked away somewhere. Maybe you're saving up for the next big movie. It's probably not going to be that great. This would be great.
It would be great. And you know, Sheila, you mentioned that there are hundreds of kids with this need. It surprised me when we got into this to find out how many children this did affect, because you know, here in the United States we fix it at an early age and it's not a big deal. And the need is big, but for those hundreds and even thousands of kids that need help, I know there's one person watching right now who wants to reach out and help. Do it. Do it. What are you waiting for? This is the last week we're going to be asking you to do this. But it takes you actually doing something. God's not going to do it for you. He's waiting on you to do it for Him. So go to the phone, pick up the phone and call the number on the screen. Go to the website. Give the best gift you can. Let God lead you. I don't want to guilt trip you into something. You know, some of you, $17 is a lot, $34 is a lot. Some of you, it's nothing. It's not the amount. It's the obedience. It's that widow's mite that is blessed, whether that equals a few cents or maybe $10,000, $15,000 if that's you. Listen to God when He speaks. Do what He says. He loves obedience better than sacrifice. I'm not asking you to sacrifice as much as I'm asking you to obey. We can make a difference. We can change lives. We can give children a future. And Sheila, I want to ask you, what will it do not only for the children, but for those mothers that you sat with?
I said to those moms, I said, I'm coming back to America. I'm going to tell our family. I'm going to tell them your prayer requests, and I know, I promise you, they're going to respond. Mm-hmm. And when you do, we're also going to send you Don's amazing book, yes. Let Food Be Your Medicine. And really, from what I've seen already, this is going to change your life.
Yep.
So you change the lives for other children. We're going to send you something that's going to change your life.
Children born with birth defects in underdeveloped nations are often overlooked, uncared for, and even abandoned. And for tens of thousands every year born with a condition known as clubfoot, their deformity leads to a struggle to just survive. The good news is there is a simple and life-changing solution. This summer, with your support, Life Outreach will provide 10,000 children with corrective braces that will give them a chance to walk like any normal child. With a cost of $17 per brace, your gift of $34 will help provide two children with corrective braces. $68 will provide for four children, and $102 will help give six children braces and the opportunity to walk. And for children with a much more severe need, gifts of $400, $800, or even $1,200 will help provide life-changing corrective surgery for one, two, or three children in need. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you Beth Moore's devotional, Blessed Mornings and Restful Nights. With your gift of $102 or more to provide six children with corrective braces, you'll also receive the Journal Edition NIV Bible. Finally, with your gift of $1,200 or more, you may receive Majesty, our commemorative bronze sculpture. This summer, join with us to give children hope for a future. Let's give them a chance to walk. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
This is the last week we're offering this. Ask for Dr. Colbert's book when you support the Medical Mission Outreach. Dr. Colbert, can I ask you a question? Would you come back later this week so we can talk about some specific diseases and how we can prevent them?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Well, we welcome you back. Thank you for being here today, and thank you for joining us on Life Today.
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media sites or visit lifetoday.org, where life is always on. Pat Smith shares openly about her struggles and triumphs in life, including her previous marriage to Martin Lawrence and current marriage to Emmett Smith. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.